This time I want to announce introduce you to, you kind of already know him already, but my son Elisha, he's with these guys from TTU, and we're going to hear a couple of men give their testimonies.
All right. Thank you guys for letting us be here. My name is Elisha. My wife Andrea and I are on staff with Campus Outreach at Tennessee Tech University in Cookeville, Tennessee. And we're your missionaries. You guys support us as a church. You guys pray for us every Wednesday night. We know that because we feel it, and it just is the truth as well. So we are pumped to be here and have some of our students share with you guys. We wanted to let you guys know about a couple things, too, just changes that will be happening that we're very excited about. One big thing that's happening is in a few months, Andrea and I, along with another couple who's here, will be planting a new campus outreach ministry at Middle Tennessee State University in Murfreesboro, Tennessee. And so we will be taking that couple and moving, starting afresh. There's no ministry there at this point. There are 24,000 students. And at a recent gathering of kind of all the different campus ministries, when they brought all the different students who are involved in those together, there were 400 students at that total. And so there's a huge, huge need just in terms of reaching out to the students there. And even to that city, it's one of the 10 fastest growing cities in America in the past 10 years. And so it is a place that definitely needs laborers. We're excited to be there. Jake and Kimmy, would you guys mind standing up? This is the other Campus Outreach staff couple coming with us, just so you guys can meet them. Thanks, guys. So, and then we've got a number of students, guys and girls here. But what I wanted you guys to get to hear is just the testimonies of what God's doing in a few of our students' lives, some of the guys that I'm discipling. And so just this semester is really this year, school year has been an incredible year to be a part of what God's doing. Obviously, the number of people who come to Christ is always a neat measure, and 40 people have come to Christ this school year. And so we're blown away by that. But not just that, just the way it's happened mainly through our students and the guys and girls that are here. And so God is really blessing that, and we want you guys to just hear from a couple people. So, Chaz, if you want to come up, he'll share, and then Matthew will share after him.
Hi, my name is, can y'all hear me? We good? Chaz Allman, and Elisha has asked me to freestyle rap my testimony. I'm just playing. It's a joke. I'm just going to share just briefly what God has done in my life. And it just goes back to, I didn't grow up in a Christian home. I grew up in Dallas, Texas. And I kind of grew up in a environment of where everybody was basically do whatever you can for yourself. And I lived like that pretty much my whole life. Moved to Tennessee in 7th grade. Still lived like that 7th and 8th grade. I didn't really even hear about Jesus until my freshman year of high school. And that's because I liked a girl, and I went to a church camp because she was going. That was the only reason. And I, at that church camp, I talked to the youth minister, and I said a prayer and got baptized, and then just went about my life my sophomore year. It just continued to go downhill. I started dealing drugs, anything that I could do to get high and go to a party. And I just loved the world. I loved my sin. I loved everything about it. Scarface was my idol, just the world is yours. And I really went by that. I wanted the world for myself. And I lived like that really just all through high school. Kept going back to church camps. Kept giving my life to Christ. Did that like 15 times. All throughout the whole deal until Panama City Beach, I went to my last church camp as a student. And I really started to see my sin on the way there. God was just showing me my sin because I'd been to Panama City for my senior spring break a few months before that. And he was just showing me through that ride. And I got to Panama and was looking at everybody's life that said they were a Christian. And my life was totally different. It didn't match up with what the guy was saying that was teaching. It didn't match up with scripture, and it didn't match up with their life. And I just remember one night at worship, people were singing from the heart, and I wasn't. And I was just reading off the screen. And I just fell to my knees. I just dropped and was in tears and just knew, I mean, just my sin just crushed me. And I was just, God, if you're real, I'm done with this. There's no satisfaction in anything that I've ever lived for but you. And since then, that was about 3-4 weeks before I went to Tech. Met a guy named Zach Rogers, introduced me to Campus Outreach, and have been growing. Since then, I met Elisha. He's just given me tons of opportunities to grow, and just areas that I've been seeing God work in. Is just after Project this past year, is just, like I said, Elisha's given me, just opportunities for Bible studies and stuff like that, but it's made me trust God so much more. And God's just shown me how faithful he is through prayer life. I prayed just for over Project, just one guy to come to Christ in Kappa Sigma. It's just a fraternity at Tech. And for one disciple. And multiple people have come to Christ in that fraternity. And I have multiple disciples because God's just been faithful to prayer. It's nothing that I've done. I didn't do anything. But it's just so sweet that, I mean, all throughout God's word just tells us to pray. And I mean, Romans 12:12 just tells us to pray consistently. And it's just so sweet to see God doing that and just pray until praise. Just another thing that God has shown me is just that everything in this world is going to fade away. I mean, in Isaiah 40, you go look at it, and it just says it. Basically, in summary, I don't have it memorized, but it just says that all flesh is like grass. It's going to fade away. Everything that we know is going to fade away. It's going to leave. It's going to perish. And what am I doing now in these, you know, however long God allows me to live? What am I doing for the kingdom? Am I fulfilling the Great Commission, Matthew 28? Am I doing that? And through that, it's just God has been showing me that, I mean, even in Joshua 1:8-9, it just, he continually reminds us that he's always with us. And what does he tell us to do? He tells us to go, just go out, go and make disciples. You don't have to know what you're doing. You don't have to know how to do it. And it's been so sweet just that God's been reminding me of that, to go out. I don't want to waste my life. I know somebody was praying about that, just to not waste our lives. And God has just been teaching me that he is faithful to his people. He's faithful in prayer and to go out. My faith has just been really changed by opportunities, because at first I felt incompetent to a lot of different things, like leading an evangelistic Bible study and then helping Elisha with a blue book, which is just helping Christians grow, and with disciples. Like, I don't know what I'm doing, but it's so sweet to just go back to God's word, and he tells us he's always going to be with us. And those are just some of the real major areas. That there's multiple things, but it's just been so sweet to see how faithful God is, and that he builds faith from faith. The more, it just really goes back to God is as big as we let him to be. If we're praying big and have huge vision, God's going to do huge things, because that's what we're praying for. And he tells us that he's going to do it. So those are the major things that God's been revealing to me. If I could just say anything, it's just, man, do not waste our lives. Go out. Because if we don't tell them, people just don't know about Christ. And we're here. That's why we're here. We're the church, to do that. And to intercede on their behalf and pray for them and love them and show them the gospel through our lives. Even if it's full-time ministry or if it's you work at a job, who cares? Showing people Christ through that, through our actions, is just the main thing that we can do. Don't waste your life, and pray for those that you are sharing the gospel with. Matthew.
My name is Matthew Quinn, and my story is a little bit different than Chaz's. I grew up in Nashville. Actually, I live about 5 minutes down the road from Chaz. I grew up in church, just basically since I was born. I was going to church every Sunday, going to church every Wednesday. Went to a private Christian school, and, you know, we had Bible class every day. We had chapel every day. I really felt like I knew ultimately, you know, what being a Christian was about. Just kind of knew, you know, yeah, Jesus died for my sins. And, And that led me when I was 15. I was like, okay, well, I want to be a Christian. And so I thought that to be a Christian, I had to be baptized. And so I was 15. I went and got baptized. And so that was, you know, I thought, okay, everything's good. But the problem was there was just no change in my life. My heart was the same. And just continued living for myself and my desires. Basically, I worshiped football and any credibility I could receive from that. I worshiped relationships with girls and didn't feel whole unless I had a girlfriend at the time. Worshiped my hobbies, whatever I was into at the time. Just poured all my time, all my money, all my effort, all my thoughts into all those things and just made them huge idols in my life and found my identity from them. And then my senior year, after football was over for good, I wasn't going to go play college. And my girlfriend at the time broke up with me. And then I was graduating high school. And so just everything that had made up my identity was pretty much being ripped away from me at that time. And so I was kind of, I had a huge void in my life. You know, I was not happy. I was pretty depressed over that whole summer. And then I got to Tech. And some of the first people I met were people from Campus Outreach. And immediately, you know, I could just... You know, there's just something different about them, and they were so willing just to be friends and to pour their time and effort and lives into me and just spend time with me and hang out with me and, you know, just knock on my door in the dorm hall and just wanting to hang out and play video games or whatever it was that I wanted to do. They wanted to do it with me and spend time with me, and they just really stood out to me. They invited me to all these events, and so we became friends. We played flag football together, And then they invited me to go on the Campus Outreach Fall Retreat, and it was in Gatlinburg. And I didn't really want to go. I kind of thought I knew everything. I didn't really feel like going, and then I just made a last-minute decision to go. And so we went up there, and basically what we talked about the entire weekend was the fruits of a Christian, the fruits of a non-Christian, from 1 John and Matthew 7. And I just realized through that, after we had a talk and a discussion group, and we were basically, the fruits of a Christian were listed on the left, and the fruits of a non-Christian were listed on the right, and they just asked us to compare our lives to what Scripture says. And we had a discussion group, and I looked at it, and I saw that, man, I'm not a Christian. You know, I really, the fruits of the Spirit are not in me. You know, my desires are really just to please myself. They're not, it's not loving God. And then I realized right then, I think that's when God really just opened up my heart and just gave me new desires and made me into a new creation. And so I came back to Tech completely different. And I didn't really realize what was going on until one of my best friends sent me a verse in a text message. And it was 2 Corinthians 5:17 that says, if anyone's in Christ, he's a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come. And it was just kind of like everything just hit me at that point. And I realized what God was doing in my life, what he had done for me, and his grace and Christ, and that it's only in Christ I can put my faith, not in my works, nothing that I can do, because I've been pretty legalistic before. And since then, God has just been really growing me a ton. He is just, he's allowed me to have a ministry this year in the hall, in the dorm hall. And so that's been amazing, just getting to learn how to share with people and just build relationships with people and have a Bible study and lead Bible studies. And God has allowed me to be led by Elisha, and he has grown me so much. He's given me so many opportunities just to step out of my comfort zone, and he's teaching me how to better share my faith with people, and he's just constantly encouraging me and spurring me on. I've grown so much from his leadership, and so, man, that's kind of what God's done in my life. So, thanks.
You would turn your Bibles to Acts chapter 19. Last week, and I had so many people, it's funny, a number of people are just like, well, what are these things, these first works that we need to give ourselves to? And just a real, real seriously brief review of what we talked about last week. We were in Revelation chapter 2. And in Revelation chapter 2, Jesus was speaking to the church. And he basically said, look, I realize that you do all these great things. You test false apostles. You're in the Word. You've got all these things that seem to be to your advantage. But he said, I've got this one thing against you, and that is that you've lost your first love, or you've left your first love. And then the amazing thing is that Jesus says, remember the height from which you've fallen and repent. And it's an amazing statement when you realize that there's a lot of things we can do that look like a mechanical walk through religion. And there's a way that you can act basically mechanically walk through a relationship with God, but not really have that first love, passion for Him. And as a result, you wind up with some very serious issues in your life, and that's just simply that you walk mechanically through a religious lifestyle. You can walk mechanically through going to Sunday school. You can walk mechanically through singing to God and listening to the Bible and praying and doing all these things. But what Jesus is saying is loving Him and being in that intimate relationship with Him is far more important than all that other stuff. And if you don't have that, you have fallen from a height. The way that that is described is like a mountain all the way down into a valley. Remember the height from which you have fallen, and the height is just simply this. Do we love our Lord Jesus Christ with a love that is unconquerable? Do we love Him with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength? Because, to be honest with you, saints, that's what's important. That is what is of extreme most importance, and the Ephesian church had lost it. Now, what's amazing is when you go into Acts chapter 19 and you see where this church started, because you see its birth, you see the passion that existed in this church, you see the hunger that existed in the church, and as a result, when Jesus says, remember the height from which you have fallen, repent, and do your first works, do those first works again, we actually have recorded for us by the Holy Spirit the first works of the Ephesian church. And so what we want to do is take a look at this in Acts chapter 19. And what I'm calling this is, what are our first works? And it is a look at the start of the Ephesian church in Acts chapter 19. And then us coming back and looking at that and saying, okay, these are the things we should give ourselves to. These are the first works that we should revisit and make sure are in our lives if we're going to be people who are passionate about the things of God and following the Lord with all of our heart. Let's take a look at these this morning. In Acts chapter 19 and verse 1, it says this, "It happened that while Apollos was at the church, Paul passed through the upper country and came to Ephesus and found some disciples. He said to them, 'Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed?' And they said to him, 'No, we've not even heard whether there is a Holy Spirit.' And he said, 'Into what then were you baptized?' And they said, 'Into John's baptism.' Paul said, 'John baptized with a baptism of repentance, telling the people to believe in him who was coming after him, that is, in Jesus.' When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul had laid his hands upon them, the Holy Spirit came upon them, and they began speaking with tongues and prophesying. There were in all about 12 men." Now, the very first things that we see in Ephesus are just simply this. Number one, we need to get salvation issues right first. We need to revisit our salvation. We need to revisit the work of the grace of God that saved us and caused us to be born again to a living hope by the resurrection of Jesus from the dead. Paul walked into the Ephesus region and he met some disciples. Now, the amazing thing is there's a lot of groups thinking that those are Christians, but they're not. They're disciples of John the Baptist. He says, "What then were you baptized in?" He says, "Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed?" And by the way, biblically, the moment you receive the Lord Jesus Christ, the moment you are born again, you need to understand that what happens is by the Holy Spirit of God, you are brought to life. And you receive the Holy Spirit, the person of the Holy Spirit, you receive Him into your life at the moment of your salvation. That is sound biblical theology. You do not receive Jesus at one time and then receive the Holy Spirit later. And what happened was, when he asked them this, "Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed?" They said, "We don't even know that there's a Holy Spirit." And then John or Paul asked them that very important question, "Into what then were you baptized?" And they said, "Well, we were baptized into John's baptism." Then Paul explained to them, "Look, John's baptism was a baptism of repentance, looking for the Messiah." And he said, what that is all about is they were telling them to look for the one who was to come, that is, Jesus. And then we see in the passage, then these people believe on Jesus and they were baptized In other words, they were saved for the very first time when they came to know the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, what I want to do is just simply ask a question as we go through this. We won't make it very far into this passage today, but we're going to kind of just wade through as we can. I'm going to teach again on this tonight. Encourage you to come back. If you want to hear these seven things to recapture your first love, make a commitment, right? Can't be that hard. Okay, maybe it is. But I want to ask a simple question of you. Whose disciple are you? That's an incredibly interesting question. Because you see, the word disciple simply means learner. And what we should be if we've actually come to Christ and we actually know Jesus is we should be passionate about being someone who is sitting at the feet of Jesus and partaking of what He has to offer to us and learning of Him and learning from Him as we go to the Scriptures. And let me say this, if you're really not a disciple, if you're really not a learner, if there was not placed in you at the moment of your salvation a passion to begin seeking God and knowing God and knowing the Lord Jesus Christ, I want to suggest something to you. Maybe you're not saved. Peter says this, that when you were saved, you would receive a desire like a newborn baby for the milk of the word that you may grow thereby. How do you know when somebody is alive? How do you know when there's actually been a birth and it's not a still birth? It's not a baby that's dead. How do you know a dead baby from a live baby? I realize this is deep biological truth. We're going to have a hard time knowing this. And I can tell you, no, it's not that hard. Dead baby, no noise, no hunger. Live baby, feed me! Now! Right now! And I will not quit screaming my brains out until you feed me. And there what you got is a live one. Now the amazing thing is we've got this really weird theology that has come into the church to where we say, oh, you can be born again. Okay. You can have received Christ. And you go, okay. And you can have absolutely no hunger for the Word of God and the things of God. And I go, back up the truck, Bubba. You made a serious wrong turn. Because if you've actually come to know the Lord Jesus Christ, if you have been born again, if you have come alive in your spirit for the very first time, there should be with that a ravenous hunger for the Word of God that you may grow. And I ask the question a second time, whose disciple are you? These guys said, well, we're disciples of John. We're learning of John. We're all about John. Let me say this, guys, this exists in many forms. Are you a disciple of a religious system? Because see, a lot of us were raised up and were actually brought up as kids within a religious system. And I don't know if you know this, but you can learn the religious system pretty well and be a decent disciple of the religious system. Well, I was raised Baptist. Baptist born, Baptist bred. When I die, I'll be Baptist dead. You know, I heard that one time. I said, God help you, because when you get to the throne, it ain't going to be about being Baptist. Well, I'm Methodist, and we do things this way. Well, I was predestined to be a Presbyterian, and we do things this way. Well, I'm Calvary Chapel, and we're just laid back, and you get saved, and they hand you your Hawaiian shirt, you know, and you're in. And you can learn a religious system quite well. And you can become a disciple of a religious system quite effectively. You know what to do. You know, some folks will go, well, we were raised Pentecostal. And then the Baptists go, well, we were raised to sing like this. Very controlled. Pentecostal. We were raised to worship like this. and everything in between based on what you were raised in, and you learn the religious system. You know the right songs to raise your hands to. You know the right time to do certain things. You know the right things to say, and even the right way to say them. It's amazing. I was handed at least two or three books during seminary that told me exactly how to do an invitation the perfect way, the Baptist way. And folks, you can learn that system and you can be all about that system and you can be all about knowing exactly how to function within that system. But my question still stands. And you know what's the same question Jesus asked the disciples of John? Whose disciple are you? Oh, well, you know, we're in that whole John movement. And I hate to say this, guys, but you need to be careful too. And I love y'all. Love my two sons. But you know what? It ain't about campus outreach. It's about Jesus. And it's not about, you know, campus crusade for Christ. It's not about the navigators. That may be a vehicle that God uses to send laborers into the field and do the work. But you know what? Whose disciple we should be? We should say, I am the disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. I am pursuing Him. I want to know Him. I want to follow Him. I do not want to be a disciple of a religious system. I don't want to be a disciple of a religious movement. I want to be a disciple of Jesus. I want to come to this Word. I want to know Him. I want to walk with Him. I want to walk intimately with Him. I want it to be about Him when I wake up in the morning. I don't want to wake up in the morning and think, you know, I got my religious list. And since I'm a disciple of my religious list, I need to go to a quiet place. I need to sit down and have my quiet time in my Bible and read my Bible. And once I've read my Bible, oh God, You're pleased with me. I can now go on with my day. You know what we need to do? We need to wake up in the morning. It's like, good morning, Lord Jesus. Pretty stinking awesome day You got going here so far. Sun rising over the horizon, planets all over the place. Just go, wow, awesome. And God, I woke up and I listened for a moment. And the heavens were declaring the glory of God. Good song. Jesus, I just want to walk with You today. Spirit of God reminds you, hey, He wrote you a love letter. Seriously, Jesus wrote me a love letter? Yeah. Your Bible's sitting there, so pick it up and read it. Because I got some things I want to say to you today. So you pick up your Bible and it's not, let me think, where was I? I was in 2 Peter, verse 9. You know, no. Please hear me. That discipline's good. That discipline's wonderful. I do it every day. Believe me, I'm incredibly anal about all that stuff. I have I'm just, you know, order that thing going all the way through. But every once in a while, I just want to throw my whole routine to the side and go and ask myself a very serious question. Whose disciple am I? Am I meeting with Him? Or am I meeting to do my checklist? Pray for the lost. Check. Read my Bible. Check. Get my offering ready for Sunday. Write out the little check. Check. Go to Sunday school. Check. Go to church. Check. And the Holy Spirit goes, checkmate. It's about Me. It's not about your religiousness. And saints, one of the things that will absolutely kill your relationship with Jesus is that you get so incredibly religious that it's no longer about you and Jesus. You know, you'll find yourself saying, Lord, what do You want me to do today? What do You want to say to me today? God, I read Your Word. I started meditating on Your Word. Man, there's some awesome stuff in there. Today, for me, today, you walk around the campus or you walk around your life and you see somebody in need. And instead of just going, you know what, I know what my schedule says I got to do. No, stop for a second. Jesus, how do You want me to love this person? Got a guy walk into your office just being a royal jerk. And your first thought is, I would like to just lay him out. Instead, you say, no, Jesus, how do You want me to treat him? People treated you way worse than this guy's treating me. So I want to experience Your life because You seem to have the ability to love people that were very unlovely. and you just wind up having a relationship with Jesus, it becomes real once again, saints. And part of what we need to do in returning to our first works is make it real again. Take it out of the religiousness that it's always been in. Find yourself and realize, am I a disciple of the world? Am I a disciple of the world system? Is that really what I'm learning most of my time? Do I have a 10-minute quiet time and a 2.5-hour TV time? Because I can promise you, you're a disciple of ABC, CBS, MSNBC, Fox. I don't care what it is. That's what you're a disciple of. And the sad thing is, there are people that can literally quote Hannity. They can quote Rush. They can quote all these people, but they can't quote Jesus. Whose disciple are you? It's a question that will burn to the very core of your being, and it will reveal things that you think to yourself, well, of course I need to return to my first love. I'm learning from everything and everybody except sitting at the feet of Jesus. You know, you can even blow it this way. You know the Lord's coming. You know that God's got something for you to do. And you know what? You seriously got that Martha thing going on, don't you? You are serving. You're doing everything that's just awesome. You are just like the best ever at taking care of everything. And yet there's some stuff that seems to be going on that God's working in it. And part of it is that a person that you ought to be serving with you isn't serving. And suddenly your serving becomes mixed with this sense of, why doesn't she or he get up and help me? Don't they understand I'm serving God in my anger and my bitterness, trying to help these people come to know Jesus? Martha just stomps right up to Jesus. Jesus! Yes? Get help! She's not helping! This could be a move of God! Except for her. Rain judgment on her, Lord. Strike her dead. We shall bury her in an apron that says, for shame, you did not serve. Jesus goes, whoa! Martha! You're worried, you're bothered about so much stuff, but really, only a few things matter. In fact, only one. And she's the one that's sitting at my feet. Now, guys, that doesn't mean nobody serves. We serve as God has us serve, because at times God will have you do stuff to just give your life away. But the cool part is, it doesn't matter if nobody helps. You'll just be thrilled serving. I remember I was at a retreat at Titusville, Florida, and there was a lady serving me beans that was so filled with the Spirit as she dumped beans on my little tray that I was just like, I looked at the guy next to me and I said, I'm getting more beans. I'm going to eat these. I'm coming back. Because this lady's awesome. I mean, it's just like the Holy Spirit's like, here's your beans. I'm like, oh, glory. And I just wanted to come back to get more beans. 75 helpings. No, not kidding. Just kidding you. But I mean, I just was blown away. Every day, a smile on her face. Every day, she just like leaked Jesus all over the bar where we were going through and getting our food. She just served, and it was just exuding Christ everywhere. It was on the walls, the ceiling, got all over me. And I thought, oh, beans in Jesus' name. You can do it. But it no longer becomes after you're done saying to everybody, by the way, did you see me serving beans today for Christ? I have a new group called BFC, Beans for Christ. Did you see it? I've got a plaque in my room that says I've served beans for years. You don't care if anybody notices you. Jesus is giving you a task. You're having a time of your life doing whatever that task is. Even if it's shoveling beans under the plate of guys walking through the line. You find yourself overwhelmed with the joy. But let me ask you a question. Whose disciple are you? What are you doing stuff for? Why are you doing these things? And you know what? It really will. It'll start getting you back to those first works. Remember the first time you ever got to serve Jesus? And you didn't care if anybody knew. You were sitting there maybe at a work day for a church just painting. Going, man, this is awesome, isn't it? We're painting for God. And now you come and you look at the workday and so few who really love God. Just me and a few others that just love Jesus. Everybody else just serving the devil. What are you doing? Whose disciple are you? Where's your heart? And that's what God's wanting to do when He restores your first love. He gives you that heart. Second thing, and I'll quit. As soon as these guys find out that they didn't know Jesus, what do? It says, when they heard about Jesus, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. You see, the first thing that we do is we realize this. Whose disciple are we? We get salvation issues right first. And you know, we go back and we realize that part of our salvation is this. You were bought with a price. You were rescued from the very wrath of God by the blood of Jesus Christ. You know what? If that's been taken care of, who cares about the rest? I will just serve God with every ounce of my joy for the rest of my days, just knowing that on the day of judgment, I will not face the wrath and the judgment of God. It was taken away by the blood of Jesus. And if I've got the blood of Jesus, I am happy to do whatever it is that God asks me to do. The second thing that happens is, these guys had been known by a baptism. Now, within that culture, baptism isn't like today. You know, today in Western culture, we don't get baptism. Their culture, when they got baptized, they understood that meant death, burial, and resurrection. It meant that you said you were dying to everything you ever were. When you went into those waters, you were saying to everybody, every way that you have ever known me, anything that you ever knew that I was identified with, you need to understand, I died to all of it. Any loyalties, any aspect of where I would serve something or somebody, it is all insanely, infinitely secondary to the one in whose name I just showed that I was dead, rised again in His name, and now I serve Him. There were people that actually thought it was treasonous to be baptized in the East. They would let you walk an aisle, raise your hand, sign a card, do all these things. They wouldn't care if you did any of that stuff. But in these Eastern countries, if you got baptized, they'd kill you. Not because they thought baptism saved you, but because they knew what you were saying when you got baptized. You were telling the world every allegiance, everything you ever knew me to be identified with, gone, dead, buried. And I want you now to identify me in the one in whose name I have just been baptized. Therefore, they were saying, everything except Jesus is an infinite second in my life. And I want you to identify me for the rest of my days with Jesus Christ. And so I ask you a second question. This is where I'm going to stop today. With whom are you identified? I mean, who are you identified with? In that day, the word baptizo was actually a word that was used primarily in the industry of dyeing clothing. And what you would do is you would get a vat of this red substance, and you would either have like a off-white cotton or like an off-white wool garment. And what you would do is you would take a stick and you drop the garment in the top of that, and then you would just dunk that thing underneath. By the way, it wasn't a sprinkling. It was a dunking. It was a full immersion. And they would take that garment and they would push it into that dye and they would leave it in that dye until every last fiber of that fabric was identified with what it was baptized into. If it was red, they would not pull it out until that entire fabric, every fiber had identified with the red that it had been baptized into. If it was blue, it would identify with the blue, every fiber. If it was green, the green. If it was some other color, yellow or something like that, they would dunk that garment in there. They would leave it there until every last fiber was identified. And therefore, you dropped it in as a white garment. When you pulled it out, it was a red garment. Now, what an awesome picture, saints. We need to revisit our baptism. We don't need to be baptized all over again unless you got baptized when you were lost. Then you do need to revisit it. Because it's obedience. But let me say this. We need to revisit baptism as more than just the goofy thing that we argue about now. Well, does it save you or doesn't it save you? Well, I can just tell you this. Scripturally, it doesn't save you. But I wouldn't give a nickel for a person who, after they got saved, would not openly confess Christ through baptism. Because if you got saved from your disobedience, then you're just going to disobey the very first thing Jesus commands you to do. But the real picture I want us to think about in the restoration of our first love is, whose disciple are you first? The second thing is this, what are you identified with? Or maybe the better question is, who are you identified with? Are you a tie-dye Christian? A little bit of everything going on? Or have you immersed your life so deeply into the Lord Jesus Christ that every fiber of your being is identified with Him? Every fiber of your lifestyle, every fiber of how you want to live has been immersed into the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, and you have a brand new life. Not because you're trying your best to be a good religious person, but because of your identification with Jesus. And what you would say to the world is, before you know me as anything, understand this. My allegiance, my absolute obedience goes to one person and one person only, the Lord Jesus Christ. That was what I committed to when I got baptized. That is what I was telling the world when I got baptized. Forget anything you've ever known me by. Forget any allegiance I've ever had. I will not view anything in an obedience fashion more than I will view Jesus owns my life. It is about knowing and being identified with Him. Therefore, if I play sports, I want you to know this. I'm going to play to the best of my ability, but the one I want to be identified with is not Michael Jordan or anything about that. And by the way, I don't even know if Jesus could dunk, but I'll say this. If he ever played basketball, he played it to the glory of God every second he did. And what I'm going to do is, I want you to know me. I'm not a basketball player. I'm not this. I'm not that. I'm not the other. I'm not identified with this school or that school. I'm not identified with this place or that place. I'm not identified with this group or that group. I'm identified with my Lord Jesus Christ, and I want to be identified with Him every day of my life. And when I face anything in life, I just go back and I review my baptism. Okay, something's come, and it's wanting me to do something. It's wanting me to sin in a certain way. I need to review my baptism. What did I say at my baptism? What was true about me? And by the way, it's taught throughout the Scriptures. I know I died to that. I don't live for that. That's not what I want to be identified with. That's not the kind of life that I have. I died to that. I was resurrected. And you know what? If any man is in Christ, as our brother said at the end of his testimony, he's a brand new creation. The old things, they're gone. All things have become new. And that is what I identify with. I identify with my Lord Jesus Christ. Now, to close this up and wrap it up, let me just say this morning, and there's five more of these. Is your first love burning brightly for Christ? I mean, is there a raging inferno in your being that says, Jesus first, Jesus always, I will cling to my Lord Jesus Christ? If it is not, then we need to remember the height from which we've fallen, that we don't love Jesus like we should. And then what we need to do is revisit our salvation and go and remember, I'm His disciple. I don't need to be spending my life being a disciple of everything except Him. I need to be His disciple. I was saved. I was made into a brand new person. And as a result, I follow Him. I learn of Him. I want to know Him. I want a fellowship with Him. And you know what? Maybe you need to reestablish your quiet time, but don't make it a quiet time. Make it a fellowship with Jesus time. Keep reading your Bible. Keep crying out to God in prayer. Keep lifting people that need to be saved up. But do it all within the context of I know and I love and I serve my Lord Jesus Christ. And then secondly, you need to revisit your baptism and say, who do I want to be identified with? Or if I looked at the things I did in my life, you know what? Do a time study this week. You'll know what you're identified with. You'll absolutely know what you're identified with when you do a time study. And I just ask you this question. Whose disciple are you? And with whom are you most identified, or what are you most identified with? And you start answering those questions honestly in the presence of God, and you will watch the Lord start returning you to your first love. Oh, I'm Jesus' disciple. It's about knowing. It's about loving. It's about being with Him. And you know what? You know who I want to be identified with? My Lord Jesus Christ. Everything I do, everything I say, everywhere I go, I want to have the joy of letting the world, not as a jerk, but just honestly as somebody who genuinely loves the Lord Jesus Christ. I just love him. Let me tell you, 29 years ago, on March 19th, I stood next to the most beautiful woman on the planet. Sorry, I got her. Y'all can't have her. And we went through some religious stuff, but eventually they looked at me and they said, "You want her?" And I went, "Yeah." "You commit yourself to her?" "Mm-hmm. Yes." You know, I think I did it properly. I do, you know. And fortunately, I don't know if it was a lapse of judgment, she said, "I do" back. And I want you to know something, guys and ladies. I'm identified with that lady until I die. And shame on me if there ever comes a moment where I think, oh, I mean, let me put it down to where kind of the rubber hits the road with us. Are you like that with Jesus? Ladies, how would you feel about a guy? "I'd like to marry you." "Oh, wonderful. Will you marry me?" "Yes." Guy comes up and says, "Hey, who's that girl?" I don't know who she is. Do you feel the love? You see, we come to love him. And we want to be identified with him. We want to tell folks about him. It was so funny, and I dearly treasure these times, just going back and remembering them. But my precious wife, when we were engaged, they would say about her, "If you want to hear about John Lawrence, just don't even get around her. That's all she wants to talk about." And that's because she loves me. And that was cool. Let me ask you this. Revisit your relationship with Jesus. People get around you. Is that just pretty much all you want to talk about? This one who has so loved you infinitely and eternally that he bought you with a price, that he changed you from the inside out. You're now his disciple. And oh, how you long to be identified with him. That, precious saints of God, is your first love. It's the start. It keeps going. Return to it. How about joining with me? Okay, rather than all you going, "You know what I was there?" Let me just kind of say this. That's what he's getting to. Took about 40 days worth of fasting and prayer to just kind of break through the hard exterior and all the doofusness that I can be. And he started breaking through all of it. And now I'm beginning to grasp, yes, I want to return to my first love. That's where I am. So maybe it would be better for me to say to you guys, would you guys join me? And let's return to our first love. Where it's all about him, loving him, knowing him, and being identified with him. Father, we come in Jesus' name. I just thank you for the patience of these dear, precious people. Lord, it was awesome to hear the testimonies. It was awesome to sing to you.